morning, Sanctuary Columbus, friends, family, everyone who is watching this video. I'm grateful to be with all of you to share another word from our sermon series, Home for Christmas. I want to say thank you to Pastor Rich for, again, allowing me to share with all of you. I consider it a privilege and an honor. So I'm going to be a little transparent. This is my third time attempting to shoot this video, to preach this message. So if you hear my voice starting to give out just a little bit, it could just be because this is the third time that I am trying to make sure this goes through. But y'all know that there's power in the number three, and maybe someone needs this word because the issue with my recordings was that I didn't have enough space in my iCloud to be able to store a lengthy video. And I know I work for Apple, and that shouldn't be an issue, but I have a one-year-old, and we've got so many photos and videos of her in my wife and I's phone, and it was time for me to delete some older things that may not have been as valuable anymore so that we could make room for something new. Maybe that's the word that you needed. I don't know. You get that for free. That was not a part of my sermon today, but maybe someone needed to hear that. So I'm praying that this word will bless all of you this morning. If you have your Bibles, or if you have your phones, your iPads, whatever product that you may have that has your Bible app on it, let's open up into the word, and let's go to Matthew's Gospel chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, and I will be reading the first 12 verses, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. If you'll see it, it reads like this: After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or your Bible may say wise men, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, I pray today that your word will come forth and that it will be a blessing to your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Bless this word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For a few moments, Sanctuary, I would like to preach from this thought: what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And here's the main idea of the message: that searching for Jesus must be done with selfless ambition. It must be done with selfless ambition. Before COVID shut down many retail stores or caused them to go to different types of pickup only strategies, you could find me at a local Apple store discussing Apple products with many different customers. And one of the things that always intrigued me was how people from all walks of life would come into the Apple store looking for the same device for very different reasons. If I can give you an example, I remember when I was helping a young man who was a little bit younger than me. He was looking for the newest, latest, and greatest iPhone. He wanted to use it for all of its features. He wanted to use it for the newest and best camera because he wanted to take photos and videos and post them to all of his social media outlets. He wanted the best processor. He wanted a good amount of storage because he needed to take all these photos, all these videos, all of these different applications that he wanted to use. He wanted the best of the best. So he said, "Keith, I want the top of the line. I want the best phone that is available." And then I helped someone who was around the age of maybe 60 to 70, roughly. And they said they wanted the same phone, but they wanted it for a very different reason. They were honest. They said, "Keith, honestly, I only want it to be able to FaceTime with my family. If I'm gonna pay for a phone, I might as well get the best, but I'm really only getting it to FaceTime my family." And the truth is that he said, "I would stick with a flip phone if not for this FaceTime and iMessage feature. I would keep a flip phone." And some of y'all still have flip phones. I'm not judging you. Or maybe your parents, your grandparents still do. Maybe they need an iPhone too. I'm just saying. But he said, "I would keep a flip phone if not for this FaceTime." And how many of us are thankful for things like FaceTime and Zoom? Even though we may be tired of it, if you're not traveling for the holidays, we should be thankful for some of this technology that allows us to still connect with our families. But they were both looking for the same device for very different reasons. And so the same could be said about the Apple Watch or the iPad or a computer, or you may be looking for the same TV, whatever it could be. Oftentimes we can look for the same thing for very different reasons. And so a good question for salesmen to ask customers is, what are you looking for? But then the follow-up question is, why are you looking for that? And the truth is, just like some of these customers who used to pack into the Apple stores to search for products that they wanted, many of us at this present time, we're looking for Jesus. But some of us, and many of us, are looking for Jesus for many different reasons. Some of you are looking for Jesus to guide you in decision making, because there's some critical decisions that you have to make before the end of the year, and you're looking for Jesus for direction. Some of you are looking for comfort because you've lost a loved one during this COVID-19 pandemic, and you're hurting, and you're looking to Jesus for comfort. Or maybe you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you stop by to hear about this Jesus. You're looking for something because you see a global pandemic. You see jobs that may be taken. You see so many things that's crazy, a racial injustice that's happening in the world. And you're looking for a solution. You're looking for an answer. You're looking for Jesus. That we could all be looking for Jesus for different reasons. Yes, we may know him to be our Savior, but all of us may be facing some things in our present day that we are all looking for Jesus for different reasons. And in our text, we find two different types of people who are in search to try to find this Jesus. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy that was already prophesied by Micah, not Micah Morgan, we love her, but by the prophet Micah. And here comes these wise men. Before we deal with the wise men, let's look at who they meet. They meet King Herod. Herod is the king in Judea. He is an egotistical maniac who is only concerned with his power and his position. If he ever feels threatened, he will have you killed. Matter of fact, to the extent that he had his own family members killed because he felt threatened. And while in power, some of these Roman soldiers and civilians, they had deemed him king of the Jews. But when these wise men, these magi, when they come looking for Jesus, he's concerned because they say they're looking for the king of the Jews. I'm sure Herod was saying to himself, I'm the king of the Jews. Ain't no one gonna take over my throne. So he sends the magi out. He calls in some of his religious leaders, the Jews and the scribes. He calls them in to say, listen, where is this Jesus gonna be born? Because he says, I gotta figure out where he's born, because if I don't get to him, my position is threatened. I wanna kill him. So he sends them out looking for Jesus. He says it's to worship him, but we know he's just looking to kill him. You got Herod, who's looking for Jesus. But then you have these magi, or your Bible again may say wise men, who we don't know a whole lot about. Matthew doesn't give us much detail about these magi. And some tradition would say that there's three of them, but there is no concrete evidence to show us that there's only three wise men. I know I don't mean to ruin some of your Christmas photos that you may have with three wise men, but the truth is we don't know how many there are. We just know that they come from the East. They are, historians and scholars would suggest that they are pagan astrologers who could be from Arabia or Babylon or somewhere else. We know that they're well thought of. They interpreted dreams. They studied stars. They were well regarded in religious circles and governing officials. They're wealthy. They've got status. And yet they're looking for Jesus. It is interesting to me that these are not Jews. They are not the people of God, but yet they're searching for Jesus. Two different types of people looking for the same Jesus for very different reasons. And the good news, church, is that Jesus can be found. But I want us to take a look at how these wise men searched for Jesus. Because again, as I said, when we're looking for Jesus, we've got to look for him with selfless ambition. But here's the first thing I want us to take a look at. These wise men that come from the East, many believe that because of their influence in the political realm and the religious realm, that many of them have access to Old Testament literature. And there are even some scholars who believe that these magi were some people who spent time in Babylon with Daniel. You remember the book of Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar needed his dreams interpreted, he looked for astrologers or magicians to come up with the interpretation of his dream. They weren't able to do it, so King Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill him. But Daniel gives the correct interpretation because it's revealed to him by God. And he spares the lives of some of these astrologers. And some of them believe, and some scholars and historians believe, that some of these magi heard some of the prophetic words from the man of Daniel. And so maybe when they see this star, maybe they recall the words in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 that says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. This is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. So maybe when they see the star, they recall the words in the Old Testament to give them a clue that this Jesus is a divine being, the Messiah who's getting ready to be born, or who was already born. Or maybe they recall what Daniel says when we read in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Can I just argue today that their search for Jesus, hear me, was initiated by the word of God. Can I help you today that if you're looking for Jesus, his word is a good place to begin? Because note this, they only have Old Testament scripture. Some of the prophecies and the law, they have, that's all they really have access to. And many believe they didn't even have access to all of the prophetic books. They didn't have what we read in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that says that this Savior would be born in Bethlehem. But they only have some of the Old Testament. But we who live after Jesus, we've got the Old Testament, the law and the prophecies, but then we have the Gospels and the New Testament, and Jesus being the fulfillment of all the prophecies of Jesus' life, his ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, his departing of the Holy Spirit. We've got all of that from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is revealed. So if you're looking for Jesus, his word is a good place to start. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called," what is it? "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He goes on to say, "But he," meaning Jesus, "would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, but by his stripes we would be healed." And we see the fulfillments of those prophecies as we read through the Gospels. And if you're looking for Jesus, this word is a good place to begin. And you know what's interesting is that Herod, when he's looking for Jesus, he calls upon these Jews, these religious leaders, these scribes, and asks, "Where is this Jesus going to be born? Where was he born?" And they tell him that based upon their knowledge of scripture, that he's born in Bethlehem. They know the word, but they never respond to the word. They're concerned about this Messiah. They're concerned about their status and their position too. And they don't allow the word to push them into action. But I'm grateful for these Magi who, they know the word, they see the star, and they look for Jesus. Can I give you an encouragement? Make yourself a goal to deposit more word into you, listen to me, before the year is up. Because you know, oftentimes we try to wait until January the 1st to start making all type of goals. I'm gonna get fit, I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna eat better, I'm gonna do better with my finances, I'm gonna pray more, I'm gonna read the word more. No. Don't wait until the new year, listen to me, because the Lord may have something to reveal to you before the year is up. Can I give you an encouragement? Make yourself a goal to read more word. Whether you start a plan on your Bible app, a 3-day plan, a 7-day plan. Then you may go to a 14-day plan. Deposit more word in you. So they come from the east. The Magi, they come from the east. They're looking for Jesus. And here's where I want to hang out for a little bit. They come by Jerusalem. They get word to Herod that they're looking for Jesus. And they say the reason that they're looking for him, it is to worship him. Here's the second thing I want to share with you today. That looking for Jesus should be an invitation to surrender. Listen to me. Here are the Magi. They're giving up of themselves because you got to remember, they're men of high prestige. They've got money. They've got wealth. They've got power. They've got all of this. They're well regarded. And yet they come to fall down and worship Jesus. They're saying, "We've got a lot of things. We've done well in our lives. But there's this Jesus who's worthy of our worship." So they come and they fall down and worship him by giving all of themselves to this Jesus. And they don't just fall down and worship, but the text says that they worship by also giving gifts. I want to make sure you don't differentiate worship and the gift giving. They're one in the same, that when they're offering this gold, this frankincense and myrrh, and if I had time, I would really deal with those individual resources to show you how important each one is. But listen to me, they're all imperative because they're costly, they're expensive. It took a lot for these magi to obtain these resources, and yet they offer all of it to Jesus. Hear me. Worship is not just us joining in with Malcolm and Micah and Kevin and Colby and Jason and the rest of the worship team and lifting our hands and singing songs. That's good. But worship is about surrender. That God, I'm offering my life. Hear that? Third time trying to preach this thing. I'm offering all of my life to Jesus. That worship is about surrender. Note this. The first time that we see our English word worship in the Bible, here it is. The first time we see this English word worship, it is when Abraham is going up to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Many of us would have difficulty with this. God, this is the son of promise, and you ask me to offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham says he's going up to the mountain to worship. In other words, to say, God, you're worthy of everything. I can't always explain or understand what's going on or what you're thinking, but yet I trust you enough to offer all of me to worship you. And note the difference here between these magi who were offering everything to Jesus and Herod, who's looking for Jesus, but believe me, he's not looking to surrender anything. He's looking for Jesus to try to kill him so that he can keep his position and his title and his status. And dare I say that many of us are like Herod. Because while it is you're not looking to kill Jesus, well, you couldn't anyways, but some of you, you don't want to surrender all to Jesus. That you're okay with Jesus as long as you don't have to give up your title, your position, as long as you can keep being the president or the CEO, as long as you can keep your status, your fame, then you're good. But what about the title? What about the status? Can Jesus have that too? They surrender everything to Jesus. And here's what I love about it. These gifts that they offer to Jesus was critical for the life and story of Jesus. Because many of you who know, after the wise men don't go back to give Herod the news of where Jesus was, Herod is upset and he puts out a decree. Hear me. He says, I want to make sure that all of the sons who are between the ages of a newborn to 2 years old, I want them killed. Because he says he knows that if he does that, he thinks that Jesus is going to be in that number. But Herod, you must know, you can't steal the plan that God has for all of humanity. You can't kill Jesus because there's too much purpose in Jesus. So Mary and Joseph, remember, they're poor. They don't really have much money. They're able to use the gifts that these wise men offer to be able to escape to Egypt, to be safe from the egotistical maniac called Herod. Hear me, that the gifts that they offered We're usable by the Lord. Can I help you today? Your gifts that you offer, your life, it is usable by God. If you would just present yourself as a sacrifice to say, Lord, here I am. Use me as you want. Play me like an instrument. Your gifts are usable by the Lord. That I know that you may be facing some difficulties, and during this pandemic, this crisis, you haven't been able to exercise your gifts and you haven't felt as valuable. But the Lord wants you to know today that your gifts are usable. They are these magi, they are the epitome of selflessness. I mean, and even Jesus, he said, if anyone wants to come after me, let them first deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Is there something that you should be offering up to say, Lord, this has been off limits for almost all of my life, but now I want to surrender this to you for you to be able to use. So their search for Jesus is initiated by a word. Their search for Jesus is demonstrative of a selfless and surrendered worship. And lastly, these magi, in their search for Jesus, when they find Jesus, they're willing to be redirected. When you look for Jesus, you may just find redirection. Because note, they cannot go back to their homeland the same way they came. Because if they would have got news to Herod, Jesus may have been killed. But they have to go a longer and more complex route back. But they're willing to be redirected. Can I ask you, what if Jesus wants to do something in your life that you've never imagined? What if Jesus wants to use you to do something that you don't have the education for, you don't have the status, or you don't have the popularity to do? What if Jesus wants to change your life? Let me give you my testimony, because many of you don't know that I wanted to be a professional athlete. I remember growing up in my middle school and high school days, I wanted to be a professional athlete. But I realized that being 5'8", 120 pounds, I was a toothpick. Maybe being a professional athlete was not in God's plans for me. Maybe it's for my brother, who's a college football player now, and it's for other brothers, but it really wasn't for me. So I figured out something else I could do with sports that I could be good at. So I wanted to be a sports journalist. So I went to Ohio University after I graduated from high school. Went to Ohio University. Shout out to all my Bobcats out there, Malcolm and others. Go Bobcats. Hear me. I went to Ohio University, one of the best journalism schools in all of the nation. And I start working at it. I'm on TV. I'm on radio. I am on my way to get to ESPN, to get to Fox Sports, to get to ABC. I was going to be there. And I remember my freshman year of college, the Lord had called me to preach. And I was troubled by this because I really did not want to preach. I wanted to just be headed to ESPN. Lord, you can still use me. I just want to go there. But I started preaching. I answered my call. I started to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I kept going after my dreams. I wanted to be on ESPN. I wanted to be popular and famous and have all these Twitter followers. I wanted to get the blue check mark for verification on Twitter. I wanted all of that. And as I get to my senior year, I'm graduating. I have to go do an internship in South Florida, which I was extremely grateful for. And as I'm finishing, one of my mentors believes that he has a word for me. He asked me a critical question. He said, Keith, are you going to go after what you want and you desire? Are you willing to give that up? Hear this, for God to use you the way he created you. I was troubled. I was really mind boggled. I was wrestling with this because this is what I wanted. But the question that this text is raising to us today is, are you willing to have your life redirected? Are you willing to forego your dreams and your plans? Or are you saying that you just want Jesus to be the co-pilot on your plane? I allowed God to redirect me. And I'm so grateful, because the truth is, I don't know if I would be where I am today if not for the redirection. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my baby girl. I'm grateful that God is using me the way he is. I don't know all that God's going to do in my life. But one thing I do know is that if you will allow God to redirect you, you will have testimonies to be able to share. And note this, your life will not just be about you, but it'll be about the name that is above every name, because that's what I had to learn. This Christian life that we live, it is not about our name. It has nothing to do with our name, but it has everything to do with Jesus wanting his name to be revealed in all of the earth. Are you willing to allow God to redirect your life? And here's what I love. These Magi, they're a part of history. They're a part of Jesus' story, but they're unnamed. They have a name. They are significant, but yet, even though they're unnamed, they're still valuable. Can I help you today? Even though people may not know your name, it does not mean that you're not valuable to the kingdom of God. Note this, my wife and I and the Morgans, we were watching the movie Jingle Jangle a couple weeks ago. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go to Netflix and check it out. And if you watch Jingle Jangle, the name Forrest Whitaker or the name Felicia Rashad may be noticeable to you. Main characters, they're well-known actor and actress. But what about the name Michael Wilkinson? Bet you don't know that name, do you? He was a costume designer for Jingle Jangle. What about the name Jade Mahoney? You don't know that name. She's just a prop painter. And even though we don't know their name, they were still critical for the story that was told in front of us to enjoy. Can I help you? Even though people may not know your name, if you would just submit to what the Lord wants to do in your life, he will use you to make his name great. That should be the goal for all of us, that I'm searching for you, Jesus, and I want to give up my life so that you can use my life as your evidence, to use my life for your story and for your glory. That's our goal. Our goal to be, Lord, use me for your glory so that your story can be told. These Magi, they are a part of the story because they searched for Jesus selflessly. They gave up of themselves, their resources, their gifts, so that Jesus' story could be told. What about you? Will your life be remembered as one that though you may not have had your name written in lights, your name may not be great to the world, but you were used by God for his glory? What are you looking for? I pray today, church, that as you search for Jesus, that you'll find him. I pray today, church, that as you're seeking Jesus, that he'll reveal himself, in that if he has in his plan to redirect your life, that you'll be able to say yes to Jesus. I'm available for you to use me. God bless you, church. I love you. Take care. And remember, your story for his glory. God bless you.